Everyone's asleep.
Everyone but Frank Zappa.
Everyone but me.
Welcome.
And I can't help feel like I'm doing this.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We broadcast live 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and now turning into 4 days a week on Rush FM in Hamilton, which will also broadcast in Raglan and soon Tauranga. So, you know, I'm getting on more coverage in New Zealand, which is good because I am a New Zealander. And what was interesting is when I started out broadcasting, everybody, it was actually an American network called American Freedom Radio that allowed a New Zealander to talk the truth about New Zealand first before New Zealanders would jump on the bandwagon. Isn't that interesting? Frickin' tall poppy syndrome. Speaking of people in the land down under, my very special guest and very good friend, Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com, joining us today for the first hour. Max, welcome to the program.
Nice to be on again, Vinny. Thanks for asking me on, brother.
Mm-mm. Now, in fact, I've got to give credit to my guitarist, Mike, here, who just had his guitar fingers crushed by a boulder this morning. He recommended I get you back on again because he just loves listening to you, and he would be listening live right now, except he's on his way out to get some herbal products and stuff like that to heal up his fingers. So, he also wanted me to ask you about an incident that you had. Say, you apparently took over a council meeting at some point?
No, that wasn't me. That was a person in Victoria. I actually interviewed them for the radio show that's going to be on this afternoon. It's a lady in Victoria who actually challenged the authority of their local council in Melton, Victoria. And she had quite an amazing response, actually. Like, she challenged them to their jurisdiction, basically, and realised that they have no jurisdiction. They're just a private body that decides it can make up rules and regulations. See, that's what councils have kind of turned into. They're calling themselves local government now, but they're not actually local government. They're local councils, you know. In Australia and in New Zealand as well, you've got the same constitution as us. Local government is actually state government. That's as local as it gets. And if you look at it back in the old days, I mean, the council, who are these guys? We used to find members of our community that we trusted. These were respectable members of our community, and we would put them in a position where they could liaise with government for us and give us the get the stuff we need from government, the money and the finances we need to have viable communities. But they kind of turned that around, and now they're creating bylaws and they're doing all sorts of stuff like this, and they're actually positioning themselves as the mini hierarchy in the area, you know what I mean? And that's not what we employed them to do. And actually, we're having a referendum this year. Are you having one over there in New Zealand? Are you having a referendum to do with the Constitution?
No.
Because you guys have the same Constitution as us. The Constitution of Australia is the same Constitution that sits for New Zealand. I think it's the Constitution it's about the southern colonies here. It's for Australia and New Zealand. And there's a referendum they want to slip in later this year to give local councils constitutional recognition. And this is what's been getting people's attention. Now, they tried this in 1977. They tried it in 1988. We voted no both times. But they're pushing it again this year. They're saying, oh, we need to give local government constitutional recognition in order to ensure continued federal funding. All right? So they're calling them local government already, and yet they're asking them to give them constitutional recognition. And if they were government, they'd already have constitutional recognition. So they're kind of planting that seed in people's minds. And this is all going on this year. And what this will do is this will put the power to make law in the hands of local council, which means that you've got six local councillors which will just be able to say, do you want to do this? And they will vote yes, and that's it. It becomes a law in that area. And this is what this lady, her name's Irina Iliadis, this is what she discovered in Victoria. She basically asked them what a referendum was and how they presumed to have the authority to create law, because we all voted no in the last referendum in 1988 about giving them constitutional recognition, which is essentially the equalisation of powers. We voted no, we won't allow you to do that. And yet they're making laws anyway, so she challenged this. And she found that they all basically snuck out. They all walked out. They refused to participate in the proceedings. So they basically took over the council chambers. And then they went back next week to ask more questions, or next month to ask more questions. And they found that the council had enacted a bylaw in their absence to prevent them from doing what they did last time. That's kind of how easy it is. Now they can come and say, no, you can't do that because the law says so. But it's not law, it's just the guidelines for their company, because that's all council is, it's a private company. So she went and took over this whole meeting and she found all this out. She posted a video on YouTube called Pirates of the Suburbs, and I recommend that everybody watch it. Everybody in Australia, everybody in New Zealand needs to watch this, because this is how your local council actually works, and they're trying to amend that this year.
Mm. We have similar incidences in New Zealand. I mean, even council rules, like as in the rules of a council meeting, they think they're laws, but they're not. And I remember I was thrown out of a council meeting. I didn't say a word. I was just sitting there. I was simply recording the council meeting. And they said, get out. And I was like, well, hold on a second. It's a public meeting. I'm a member of the public. I'm just filming it for the public record. Threw me out.
Yeah, exactly. They tried to do that with Rena as well, but she said, well, look, you know, according to the Listing Devices Act and the Recording Devices Act, I'm allowed to film. And they said, oh, no, we've got a law that says you can't. That was a council law. But, I mean, even according to the Constitution, I mean, any law that is not the, you know, that is, you know, against the Constitution is void. Any law against federal law is void. You know, the latter shall always have, you know, if it's recognised by the Constitution, then it always has precedence. And it says in Section 109 of the Constitution, that's what it says, that the Constitution has precedence. So it says that there's a federal act, the Listing Devices Act, that says you can record anything. And that's what she was using. But they said, no, our law overrides that. So they're claiming they're a higher authority than the Constitution. That's treason. That's sedition. That's very, very bad. And so she started a process by which these councils can be held accountable for their actions. They went in and delivered a public writ to them last week, I think, and they've had a bit of progress, but it's going to go on for about another month. And people are waking up to what's going on here, because we've got to nip all this in the bud. And the government knows that people are waking up to it. People are waking up to the fact that their rates are going up, all the prices of living is going up ridiculously, and it's all stemming from local councils. You know, and everyone's passing the buck everywhere, but people are starting to wake up that local councils don't actually have any authority. And that's what this referendum's about. And not only that, Julia Gillard, like, this is a very important referendum. This is a very, very important issue, and they're brainwashing the public into thinking it's about public funding. It's about getting more money for your area, which is a complete lie. It's about granting the equalisation of powers to local councils, which is very, very dangerous. And what they're doing is she's called an election, Julia Gillard has called an election in September, I think, and they're going to slide the referendum in with the election. So you'll be going and ticking one box here and ticking another box here, thinking, I don't even want to be here today. Damn these elections, they're such a hassle. So you're not really going to be giving this referendum any scrutiny, and you're just going to be thinking, well, this is about getting more funding for my local area, so I should vote yes. And you're not even going to look at it. And the population of Australia is probably dumbed down enough now that they might very well sign yes on this referendum. And if they do, this will give local councils the ability to milk the wealth of each district, suburb by suburb, household by household.
This is why I'm inherently against democracy, because if the majority of people are frickin' idiots and are completely uninformed, it means that the complete idiots who are completely uninformed won't manage to rule over everybody.
Well, that's the problem with it. That's absolutely the problem with it. And that's what we're seeing. And what's also very, very telling about this is that these local councils, which are supposed to be our elected officials, our people, like I said, you know, trusted members of the community that we put there to liaise with government for us, what it turns out that all of these local councils are getting their directives from organisations such as the Municipality Association of Australia. And there's subsidiary Municipality Association of Victoria, of New South Wales, of Queensland, you know, like there's the state ones as well. And what you find is that this municipality association has very close ties to the United Nations, and what it's pushing is Agenda 21. This is why we're seeing local councils starting to control things like childcare and all sorts of stuff. They're not supposed to be there for that. They're supposed to be there to manage our infrastructure for us. They're our spokespeople to government. But they've turned themselves into local government, and now they're controlling all these aspects of our lives. And this is Agenda 21. This is basically, through this referendum, they'll be basically giving under the counter control of the districts of Australia, district by district, they'll be giving under the counter control to the United Nations. That's basically what's going on here. It's almost like handing Australia to a foreign power.
Now, I also talk with Topher Field, I think it might have been last week or the week before, and he was telling me about, you know, these bushfires that recently happened in Australia and how the local councils had banned people from collecting firewood and banned people from cutting down trees on their property that were fire hazards and things like that. And sure enough, a massive, massive bushfire destroyed everybody's frickin' property.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
And that's straight out of the Wildlands Project, which is part of Agenda 21 too.
Yeah, exactly. So they want to force all these people. They want to force people out of the country areas, force them into cities, force them into populated areas. And basically what we're going to see over the next 10 to 15 years is we're going to see all the wealth transferred out of Western countries into third world countries. I'll bring up the third world now. They'll crash the first world down to the state of the fourth world. And they'll transfer all the wealth into the third world because we created the third world by giving them money, imposing currency on them and giving them stuff to spend. They didn't even know what money was 150 years ago, you know. We gave them that, so we managed to place them in a state of scarcity so we could take their resources and basically create the third world. And they see the poverty that they live in, and they watch Hollywood movies and they see all the stuff that they believe the West has because they only see one side of it. Because they never actually travelled there and experienced it. They've only seen it on television and on movies. And so they want that. They want that lifestyle. So you go to a third world country and you have something, you have technology, something Western, and they love this. They love it. They love you. They love it. They just want the technology. So now, and also you'll find that all of these third world countries, these are still quite connected people. They're very earthy. They're very nice. They're very kind people. They're very thoughtful, very caring. They're very much connected to the planet still. But they've got this bamboozlement of television. They've been given just enough to make it very, very enticing. So now we transfer wealth to them. And what will happen is over a couple of generations, they will turn into this, like what Japan's done, what China's doing, what we did. I mean, they'll turn into these huge technological monstrosities. And over a period of two or three generations, they'll lose that connection to Earth, and then the wealth will be taken from them and transferred somewhere else. That's the way they do it. So, see, Agenda 21, they only really needed us to put this, all of this infrastructure in place. They gave us all the toys and trinkets and civilization to play with so we could put the infrastructure in place for them. Basically, what they wanted to do with Australia was turn it into a mine. That's why it's called Australia, which is AU, gold, Australis, Great Southern Land. LIA is a corporation. So you've got the Corporation for the Southern Adjunctment for Gold, basically, is what Australia means. It's a mine. That's what they want it for. And they needed us to create that, so they had to give us this technology and this civilization so we'd do it. Now we've done it, they just take it all away. They squeeze us into concentrated population areas. They only need enough of us here to run the system. They don't need all these other useless eaters, as Kissinger calls them. All they need is enough people to run the infrastructure. And that's what they do. So now they'll transfer all the wealth into the third world. So you'll see this happening over the next 10 or 15 years. And if this... this referendum goes ahead and they vote yes on this, and this power is given to local councils, that will be the mechanism that the United Nations needs to get in there and undermine the country, district by district, suburb by suburb, household by household, and that'll be it. It'll be all over for Australia if this passes.
Mm. And if they can physically force you into it, that's what's going to happen. And I was just thinking about this morning, Max. I mean, if somebody's doing something illegal, you can't stop them with words if they can force you anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I mean, that's very much. And the government can't do anything illegal because it creates the legislation. Legal is
well, unlawful.
Legislation. I know, unlawful, that's a big difference, you see. But they've been told, no, it means the same thing. You know, legislation is law. No, it's not. Legislation is words on paper designed to... remove law and replace it with the will of politicians. That's what legislation is. So that which is illegal, you can never claim the government's done anything illegal because they create the law. I mean, they create the legislation, so they just make sure that they can't do anything illegal because it's legislated that they can't, you know. But they break the law all the time. They're always acting unlawfully. And essentially what they're doing, I've been saying it for years, is they're in breach of trust. And this is a trust agreement. All of it's a trust agreement. The whole concept of government is a trust agreement. So that's where the remedy lies. But you need this groundswell of people to stand up and do it and say it and step above that which is legal and take it back to natural law and realize that, you know, we're all in this together, and you people that we elect to hold this planet in trust for us so we have a viable future have done a god-awful job. And not only that, but we believe that you are maliciously impoverishing the rest of the world in order to serve your own agenda. Exhibit A, the Earth. You know, So that's the way I think it needs to be approached.
Yeah. I came up with a joke yesterday, Max. Why did all the government-run schools have to be shut down?
Why?
Because they didn't have any principals.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, very true, mate. They don't have any principals at all. I mean, it's a pretty shocking state that we're in, and I think that people have to really take it to the next level this year, and you've got to start questioning this authority on every level that you can. We need everybody to do this. Start questioning. When you get your water rates, when you get your bills, when you get anything from government that is demanding you do anything, question it. Write letters to people. Question every single thing that they ask you to do. You know, we have to start doing this or we're going to lose our countries. You know, this is a very, very significant time in history, I think. We're at a real turning point. I think the 2012 date, the December 2012 date, the next, you know, three months is going to be absolutely crucial, what we do. And you can see the way they're playing it as well, even with the whole Sandy Hook thing, the way they've used that to vilify the whole truth community. That's what I put out a radio show a few weeks ago, and I said this was an American coup d'etat that was being used to not just take the guns, but to create conflict and vilify the truth movement. These are going to be the new enemy, and we're going to see more of these people being portrayed as the enemy. And just right on cue, just the other day, there's a guy called Philip Marshall, who's apparently a former pilot. Did you read about that one? Philip Marshall, former pilot and 911 conspiracy theorist, shoots his two teenagers and then himself, shoots his children and himself. So now we've got truthers going crazy, shooting their kids, right? We're going to see more of this. You're going to see when there's an incident, if they can tie it to the truth movement, they're going to do it in every single headline that you find, as much as they possibly can. That's what Sandy started, you know. Because they know who their enemy is. They know who's standing against them. They know who's having the most impact and who's speaking the truth about the government. And they need to drive a wedge between these people and the general community. You know, truthers need to be portrayed as crazy. And that's what Sandy Hook was one of the spin-offs of it. And that's the way it's been played. So you're going to see more of this. So pay attention to that too.
Yeah, it's quite a frustrating one because you realize that you know the truth and everybody else is wrong, yet everybody thinks you're crazy. and it drives you up the wall and actually starts to make you crazy. And that's the real problem that we're dealing with here is across the entire truth movement, we're getting frustrated by lack of being listened to. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. All right, let's bring that music down. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm really cutting out the music today because I've got Max Egan on the phone. And what were we talking about over the break? Ah, yes, freedom. What is it? Now, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard about the free man movement or being lawful and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of people come up to me and ask me, you know, why aren't I doing it? Why aren't I rescinding my birth certificate? Why aren't I doing all this? And I said, well, there's a couple of reasons. Mainly, the people who do that are constantly tied up in court. Secondly, the people that do that are broke. Thirdly, the people that do that are usually harassed by the authorities constantly. So if you're broke, constantly tied up in court, and constantly being unlawfully harassed by the authorities, is that freedom? No, that's freaking not. And that's why I don't do it. I'll say whatever I want to police officers and I'll argue with them. But as Max said over the break, you know, if there's three of them and one of you, I'm not going to push the issue. What do you think about this, man? And again, we just heard that Dean Clifford, who does this sort of thing, has been arrested and put into maximum security prison. Okay? Dean's never heard a fly. He's argued to the nines and been very successful. He's tied up in court, he's broke, and he gets constantly harassed by the authorities. It's precisely what I'm talking about. And now he's getting unlawfully thrown into a maximum fracking security prison. Okay? We're not free. We're not free until we're all free.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, and I have heard that. It was posted on my Facebook by a whole bunch of people. They're saying, could you please ring up the authorities in Manitoba and ask what's going on and find out what's going on? Apparently, they've dropped most of the charges against him, but they're still holding one against him. But they've thrown him basically into a maximum security prison, and they're keeping him in solitary because they're saying he's a danger. They have to keep him in maximum security because he's dangerous. And he's not dangerous. The only danger Dean poses is that he may educate the other prisoners on the realities of the law. So
that's why they're keeping him in solitary, because if you're in prison with a cell with somebody and you've got somebody who knows the law and is talking about it, hey, you've got a captive audience.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Robert Menard has also written a letter to the authorities there to find out what's going on. And so, yeah, it's quite a serious issue, and we'll just have to pay attention and see what happens with that. I mean, they're not going to be able to hold anything against him, but I think they're doing it just to scare him and to scare the truth community. I mean, look, you know, I think that I have no problem with people having driver's licenses, and because we need to know these people can drive a car. We need to know someone's competent. And I have no problem with people having plates on their car or some type of identification on their car in case they hurt somebody. And we need to find these people. People aren't always responsible. We need to know they can control the vehicle, and we need to know that we know what vehicle it was in case it kills somebody and they run away. So as far as that goes, I have no problem with aptitude tests and identification on vehicles. And I don't think it's really
or warrant a fitness, you know, make sure you ain't driving around with four bald tires and a rust bucket.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they can take it to ridiculous extremes sometimes in Australia. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, most people are pretty responsible about that anyway because they don't want to kill themselves, you know, well, hopefully. But, you know, I have no problem with certain things like that. My big thing that I want is freedom. You know, if we're going to have society and we're going to have what we've got, you know, this type of civilization, we need some sort of administrative mechanism to take care of it. Personally, I'd like to see us move to something completely different to this, but that would take a whole another show. But, you know, I have no problem with a lot of that sort of stuff, but I don't see why I should have to go and send back my birth certificate and do all of these things and fill out all of these forms in order to establish my freedom. Because if I'm going through parameters that they tell me I have to go through to establish my freedom, then how free do I think I am? You know, as far as I'm concerned, man was created equal. All men were created equal. If you want to get philosophical and spiritual about it, you could say the creator created man, and everything below that is fiction. It's all a man-made creation. This whole system is a man-made creation. And I am equal to every other man on the planet. Every other single living being on the planet is no better or no worse or no more or less important than me. We are all in this together. And my concern is that if the government is even presuming to inflict legislation upon me, which is going to damage me and damage the earth, and I'm forced to abide by all these rules, which don't seem to benefit anybody except government, then who are these people? How come they presume to have that right of ownership over me? And if these are elected officials that we all voted for and put there to manage our infrastructure for us, then the mere fact that they're choosing to do this indicates they're in breach of trust. That's my approach to the whole thing. So let's step above the legal system. And I'd like to see the whole planet, all the populations. I'd like to see everybody in Australia and everybody in New Zealand suddenly question their rates, question why they're getting all these bills, question why there's coal seam gas mining everywhere, and we can't stop it because police are acting like the security force for the mining companies. They're not doing what's right. They're just protecting corporate interests. They're not protecting the people. They're not protecting the country. We need the whole country to stand up and say, why is this happening? And you politicians who've allowed this, you need to show cause why you should not be held in breach of trust and taken and tried in one of your own courts. Yeah, we'll do it by your legal system because you're in breach of all of your own laws that you created, all the legislation you created that you dared to call law. You're in breach of all this stuff as well. Not only natural law and common law and everything else that would be construed as decent, you're in breach of the whole damn thing. So you need to show cause why we the people should not hold you in breach of trust and take you and try you in one of your own courts and throw you in one of your own jails. That's the attitude you need to have. Step above the whole thing and rein this in, rein this whole system in. Realize it's all fiction. We created the whole thing It's not this big monster. It's fiction. It only exists on paper. Government only exists on paper. The whole thing only exists on paper. So we need to take stock and rein it in and put it back in the right direction. That's my attitude to the whole thing, Vinny.
I reckon, mate. And also, I've determined in my life that justice is not a natural thing, okay? It's no more natural than a building that's constructed. It has to be willed and forced to be there, and people need to work at it constantly, okay? And there's no real justice in the natural world in most cases, you know? I mean, do you see wildebeest taking lions to court for eating one of their babies? Or anything like that. It just doesn't happen. Nature is really brutal and frickin' nasty. And humanity lives in this artificial bubble we call the legal system, which is supposed to, you know, regulate our behaviors and things of that nature, that we would normally have some kind of animalistic killing, cannibalism, rituals and dark magic and all of this kind of stuff that was been practiced in past centuries and millennia for goodness knows how frickin' long. There was no lawfulness. There was barely any respect. There was no piety. I mean, in some cases anyway. And today, I think that what's really challenging humanity is that we think that justice and lawful action is a natural thing. I'm of the complete opposite opinion. It is absolutely unnatural. You have to make justice happen in order for it to exist at all. And that's what people need to realize. You can't sit back and expect the right thing will happen. You have to step forward and make it happen. Nobody is going to save your ass. You have to save your own. You have to look out for the people standing next to you, and vice versa. You have to organize.
Yeah, look, that's really how it works as well. You do. You've got to stand up for what is right. You know, there'll always be natural law. Natural law will hold sway. Natural law, if you do the wrong thing, then bad things happen. That's the way natural law works, you know. And in a society where
Tell that to David Rockefeller. He's living the high life, and he's the biggest scumbag the earth has ever seen.
Well, that's because of this whole system that he controls, the whole monetary system. That's just the way it works. But, you know, what you're saying, everything you described is the way it was when we lived in this terrible, you know, unpious and black magic and, you know, wars and murders and terrible stuff going on. The real problem is that what we're seeing is that all of that stuff that you mentioned has now been legislated into reality, and because that's the way our governments live. That's the way the hierarchy live. That's the way the elite live. They do all of that stuff. They've just sort of excluded the rest of humanity. They've locked everybody down into this little box that they call the legal system. Well, they're free to still do all of those horrible things that they always have done for centuries. You know, but I think, you know, we're going to have to wake up and do something about it. It's really got to be taken to the next level. It's all very well talking about all of this sort of stuff on radio shows and making films about it. And I mean, we've done what we can to educate the people, but it's getting really serious this year. It's getting really serious. And you know, all the world's eyes need to be on Australia this year to see where Australia goes this year, because Australia is very much more ahead of many other countries, and so is New Zealand. We're very much more ahead of what it is in Europe, what it is in America, and we're going to see some major changes happen in this country, I think, over the next 6 to 8 months. And if this referendum comes in and gets they vote yes in this referendum, then it will be all over for the country. You know, if that change is made to our constitution, then that's the end of Australia. So I'll probably even move overseas at that point if that happens, because I can't see the point. You know,
where are you going to go to, Max? Where are you going to go to? It's a new world order. There's no place we can escape to.
Oh, no, I'll probably go to a third world country where it's a lot cheaper to live, and I'll continue what I'm doing from there. But there's no way I'm going to allow myself to be subject to the whims of local council, you know, and it'll take at least another 20 years before the third world gets to where the first world will be. So, you know, that will give me a little bit extra time to try to wake people up, because If this country does vote yes in this referendum and they allow laws to be made by six people in your local council without any congressional oversight, no upper lower house, no seeing if the law's valid, no, you know, the way laws are made, it's got to go through the two houses, it's all, you know, they've got to vote on it, both parties, you've got all of these people questioning every single detail of it, That will transfer down to the six people in your local council who will be able to say, hey, you want to do this? And the other guys will go, yes, bang, okay, now it's law because we wrote it down on this piece of paper. And that's it. It becomes law in your local area. And if that happens, then, I mean, they'll go into a feeding frenzy. And within the next 10 to 15 years, no matter where you stand in the Western world, no matter where you stand in Australia anyway, you'll be in the fourth world. Because that's the way this country will go within the next 10 to 15 years if this referendum gets through. So really the only way I will be able to continue speaking the truth and trying to wake people up will be if I leave this country. I won't have a choice. It's either that or succumb to the machine and do what you said before. I mean, you're standing up against these people, just get arrested, thrown in jail. What good am I there? What good is it to anybody for me to do that? If the rest of the country is asleep enough to allow me to be arrested for speaking the truth and thrown in jail, then what's the point of it? What's the point [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of the whole thing, you know? So, you know, if I move to somewhere else, then I'll still be able to speak about what's going on here, and the people in Australia who are listening will see it happening around them. Maybe they will then rise up and take this this matter to task, and then I can come back and help them.
What if you had like a thousand? What if you had like a thousand people? Let's say you get arrested, Max. God forbid. And you're in a prison, and then all of a sudden, a thousand people show up with megaphones and riot shields or whatever, and just start screaming, "Let him go! Let him go!" And they bow to the pressure. I think that people like you and I, we are in a very different position to the rest of the people, maybe our listeners and things like that, who are very much on our own. We're in the eye of the public, which means we're also in the eye of the enemy. So it's a double-edged sword, I think, because if anybody can contact or find me, that means my enemies can contact and find me too. However, it also means that if anything were to happen to me or happen to you, all of these people that would find out about it may or may not do something. And I just really hope that that's my protection net at the end of the day, that all these people that I've helped come on air and expose a little bit of scumbaggery and done some volunteer work or whatever would come to my aid if I ever needed it, you know. And, you know, having a look at the long, massive list of the people that I've had on this show, my goodness, I would really, really not want to be the person who is arresting me and having to deal with the fallout.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, but the thing is, I mean, you need 100,000 people to stand up with you when you do this. I mean,
yeah,
it's become so obvious what's going on here. You know, it's become so obvious. And people, the unfortunate thing is that people are simply not questioning their surroundings. They're not questioning authority. And I was speaking to someone the other day about the referendum, and they said, oh, that'd be a good thing, get rid of state government. You know, that'd be a good thing to put it down on a local level. So at least it's people who know the area. And I'm thinking, you don't get it, do you? You know, it's not about that. It's about who's going to be making laws. Do you want six people to be able to make the laws that run your life? You know, so there's so many people that don't understand it. And if it's got to that point, but it gets to a point where you have to retreat and start speaking from the hilltop rather than the valley, and that's just the way it's going. If it becomes untenable for me to live here, and the only choice I've got between moving and incarceration, well, I'll move, because I'm not going to stop speaking out. And if local councils are given legal clout, then, you know, people like you and I will be the ones that they'll find something to get you for, you know. And so, you know, it just gets to a stage, and I've been given all these signs. I mean, the property that I'm being on has been sold. I've got to move from this property that I've been on for 3.5 years, and all sorts of things. There's about 10 things have happened which are pushing me to move. So I don't know. I'm just going to go with the synchronicity.
You know what I think is going to happen, Max? I think you're going to find an even better place. I think you're going to find even better people. And I think you're going to grow exponentially. Right, and that's what I find always happens when really bad things start happening to you. Really good things are just on the horizon. We'll be right back with Max Egan at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around
mind you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, everybody. This is a final segment this hour that I have with Max Egan. Next hour, we will have Petrea Patrick from American Empire, the new documentary. And we were talking over the break about just, you know, doing this kind of thing and not having a job. It doesn't mean we're not working. Like, we really are working. And I was just thinking about it this morning, Max, is here's the thing. Let's say you're working 8 hours a day for somebody else. You spend about an hour plus tops or something commuting there and then commuting back. So you wind up actually really about maybe 10 hours of the day because you've also got to get ready in the morning and do all that kind of stuff. So whereas me, I barely ever leave the house and I'm still working the 10 hours a day. So it depends what I'm really interested in doing. Am I interested in working for somebody else for 10 hours a day for an assured income and never having any freedom of any kind and always having to leave my house and always having to do what everybody else tells me and look how they want me to look? Or do I want to do everything that I want to do and just work the same amount of hours anyway? You know, it's a choice. And in Australia, as you've been alluding to over the break, it's getting really, really dire in terms of the cost of living. And I wanted to plead with the listeners. Max is always really, he's an honourable man. And I consider myself maybe a bit less than honourable. I ask for donations, and I do it regularly because I know that I wouldn't survive without it. Max, on the other hand, reserves himself because he wants to just, you know, keep volunteering and keep doing the good thing and fighting the good fight. But I want to ask on his behalf, at least, please go to thecrowhouse.com and send Max some money. Okay, do you have a donate button or something there, Max?
Yeah, I got a PayPal donate button. My sister looks after the account for me.
Yeah. Send him some frickin' money, ladies and gentlemen. The poor man is living in Byron Bay, which is like, I don't know, it's turning into the Gold Coast, which is the, I don't know, high-rise is right on the beach kind of thing. Just so frickin' expensive to live that it's just becoming absolutely insane, totally untenable. And when you ain't got enough money to frickin' survive, gosh dang it, that's stressful. It's a real pain. And I feel for you, man. And I want people to help you.
Well, it's just the way Australia is, mate. This is what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just, and even when I'm saying about leaving here, it isn't that I'm running or anything. It's just that I'm being pushed. I'm being pushed away. It's just the fact that this property is up for sale. I've been here for 3.5 years. I've got to leave this. I've got some friends who've got land in the Philippines. They've offered me a place over there. So it's just all pushing me towards that. Plus, with the Full Circle project that I want to try to get off the ground this year, it doesn't look like I'm going to be home here in Australia for much of the time anyway. So there doesn't really seem to be much point in getting anywhere around here. And I'm just thinking it's time to leave. It's getting very, very expensive to live in Australia, and it's just going to go up and up and up with the carbon tax. I think the world needs to pay attention to what's going on in Australia, because Australia is very much more ahead with this whole Agenda 21 thing than most other countries. And so people need to pay attention to what's happening here, because that's what will be happening in other countries. This is what will happen in England with the austerity measures they're bringing in there. This is what will happen with the United States. You know, if they manage to disarm the people and create the conflict that they're trying to create, and I really think what they're pushing for is conflict, because you can even see now they've been trying to enact executive orders, and they're talking about all sorts of stuff. You know, there's talk of executive orders. There's different states trying to put forth different gun restrictions and limiting magazine capacities and all sorts of stuff, and they're being challenged at every single level. They're being challenged state by state, council by council, government by government, household by household, sheriffs. I mean, there's so many people that are standing up against this that they're never going to be able to do it with legislation or even with executive orders. The American people simply will not give up their guns. The only way they're going to be able to get it through is through conflict. And so that's what they're pushing for. I think the attack on the Second Amendment is a carrot that they're dangling in front of people. And the way they've set up Sandy Hook so it looks like a conspiracy theory, even if it isn't, I mean, I don't know whether these people are actors. I don't know whether the kids died. I don't know. I wasn't there. I haven't got enough information. Nobody has. But there's so many things that have been done to make it look like it's a conspiracy. And then you've seen the vilification of the truth movement around it. So you can see what's going on here. You can see how it's being played. They're pushing. They're pushing for conflict. And as soon as conflict starts, they got all the FEMA camps in place. They just issued all the hollow points to Homeland Security. They got predator drones in the sky. They got the microwave cannons, sound cannons, militarized police. They got everything ready to lock the whole place down. And they're pushing for conflict. Conflict is the only way they're going to get the guns from the American people. That's why, I mean, I'm just hoping people are drawing up articles of impeachment now. And as soon as Obama signs that executive order to repeal the Second Amendment, he gets handed impeachment papers straight away. That's what I'm hoping, because there is still a peaceful way to do it. And hopefully the process of impeaching this man will put that spirit of America back into the hearts of the people, and they'll want to stand up and address this situation. Hopefully they'll see how far it's got. But, you know, you look at it, you look at America, you've got. I mean, we've already been disarmed here, so it doesn't matter. All they're doing now is they're subdividing the lawmaking down into local council level so they can milk the place suburb by suburb. This is what they'll do in America as well eventually. They'll bring it all right down to local council level so they can extract the wealth of the people in the local area. But what you've got in America, you've got a country that's legalized torture, it's militarized the police, it's got secret prisons, it's removed habeas corpus, the right of knowing what you're charged with or having legal representation or anything like that. They've got, like I said, secret prisons, illegal wars, legalized torture, and now they want to take the weapons away from the people. I mean, if people can't see what's going on here, you've got this border security, which is like an iron curtain around the place. You know, if people can't see what's going on, then God help America. They really do need to pay attention to this, and they need to be drafting articles of impeachment right now, everybody. And the whole country needs to down tools and stand up for what's going on there, because if America falls, then this war machine will be left to just run rampant. So the world's in a very precarious situation at the moment with what's going on here in Australia, what's going on in America, what's going on in England. It's happening everywhere. What's going on across Europe, the merging of Croatia into the EU. I mean, it's happening everywhere. So this is the year that I think people have to stand up and pay attention. They've got to step above it and realize that all of this is breach of trust, and that's the way we approach it. You know, we need some sort of unity. We need to respect each other. And you know, as I've often said so many times, it comes down to yourself as well, knowing the power that you've got to stand up against this system. And that's what I've been doing for 5 years. And I'm still free. I'm still out of jail. I'm still doing what I do. You know, I don't do things which would get me harassed, such as driving without number plates and all this sort of stuff, because it's not about that. It's about stepping above it and waking the community up to the power that they've got so that we can all remove our government bondage. Not just me. It's no point me going down a free man rabbit hole and establishing freedom for myself. I want to take the whole community with me. I want the community to wake up to who and what they are so we can rein this system in, so we can have a viable planet again. That's what we've got to do. I mean, unfortunately, it's just going to have to get worse for some people. They're going to have to wait till it's really in their face. I mean, for some people, it just isn't in your face enough already. You know, but as the bills go up and the times get tougher, which they will over the next 10 to 15 years, I mean, that's all they really need to do. They could reduce the first world to the fourth world in a matter of 10 years if they get a good run. It may take them 20, may take them 25, but that's what they're doing. And you watch, over the next few years, you will see the wealth from the first world being transferred slowly into the third world, and that will rise up. And we will become, you know, basically what they are now, only probably a bit worse.
See, my opinion is, Max, that you don't wake up unless you've been startled out of your restful slumber. You people need to suffer. People need to go through heaps and quantitative amounts of just Shiite Muslim that just shocks them and destroys their life and their sense of pride and reality and patriotism. You need to have something really frickin' bad happen to you before you start waking up in such a quantity that we really expect from people now, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, they're doing it very gradually, so people don't get that shock.
Yeah.
They don't get that shock. And as they dumb down the population and the kids get more into mobile phones and video games and they fill them full of more fluoride and GM food, they don't think about it. They just don't think about it. They just bumble along. Oh, yeah, this is the best job I can get. And their intelligence gets lower and lower because of all the GM stuff that they're doing. You know, that's just the way they do it. They do it very, very gradually. As soon as people start to wake up and some sort of a movement happens, and you see things like Sandy Hook vilifying the truth movement, you still gradually, little gradual things here, you know what I mean? They plan years in advance.
I got an idea. I got an idea. You know how, frack, we'll come to the end of the hour, damn it. You know how Edward Bernays says, you know, you don't need to convince the people, just convince the doctors and they'll convince the people for you? I think the truth is should actually be really going after the high-powered intellectuals, doctors, lawyers, all those kind of people who currently run society, and try and wake them up specifically, and they'll wake the rest of the population up for us.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, many of them are locked in ego because they have their certificates, which they believe means that they know more. You know, we've got this senator or a politician in South Australia, Anne Bresington. I don't know whether you've seen that. She's on. She's been speaking out against Agenda 21.
Oh, Anne, yeah. I'm having her on the show soon, actually.
Yeah. Well, this is fantastic. This is a politician that's speaking out. So, yeah, maybe we are reaching these people, brother.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not frickin' impossible. Freedom has happened before. Tyrants always wind up getting overthrown. And I think that if we have faith in humanity, faith in ourselves, we can accomplish what others would think impossible. Because those who think it is impossible, it's only impossible for them. Because you've just got to accept the truth that anything is possible. Max, thank you very much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure coming on the show, Vinny. Always a pleasure, brother. Thank you for what you do.
All right, mate. We'll see you again sometime. All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm not in a very musical mood today. Let's bring it down. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now our number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness and scumbaggery and Agenda 21 and financial crises and depleted uranium and GMO food and Monsanto half parakeet, half oxen grazing on the frickin' God, everything's so frickin' frustrating. If you lose your sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. And my very special guest is a documentary filmmaker named Patria Patrick, and the documentary she's made is American Empire from AmericanEmpireDocumentary.com. Patria, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing?
I thought it was pretty obvious.
Well, I would just say, look, on your site, you say don't waste time on those who don't believe, and at this point, there is no time for debate. There's too much evidence out there that something is wrong, and debating it is just a waste of time. And frankly, I'm tired of listening to these people lie. And, you know, that's what we did, is we put out a film that shows the severity of the situation. And people should be angry. We should be angry. We have the right to be angry. And our film, I think after you see it, you'll know how to articulate your anger and to perhaps move forward in a way that can help us in the short window of time that we have left accomplish something.
Do you think part of our anger is that we just don't know how to express it?
Well, no, I think part of our anger is that we really don't understand what's going on when we just feel manipulated in a lot of ways, and we don't want to admit that because we go along with the system that actually we become enablers to. And so the point, Vinny, is we're put into this earth and we're not really responsible for what we, you know, picked up in our childhood and how we were programmed. But now that we're adults, we have the responsibility of fixing that. And there's too much information out there. There's too many good shows like yours and films like mine that have this, you know, this a message. Not maybe they're not all the same message, but they're a message that get you to look at the facts that things are not right. And if we don't jump on board and do something, we're going to suffer, and we're setting our children up for the worst future ever.
You know, I was just thinking about this yesterday. Are enough people interested in these in shows like mine and documentaries like yours? And the thing that made me really question it is a music video called Gangnam Style, which I watched for the first time yesterday. 1.3 billion hits. That's what people are interested in.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. And that's why we put out our music video. We've had like 100 hits.
What is it called, Guantanamo Style?
No, it's called You Rob Me, and it's, you know, it shows the, you know, the way that the banks and you know, the oil companies and the food and all that are, you know, are in control. And you know what it's leading us down to is that this empire is taking us on a path of destruction economically, socially, and sustainably. And as we say in the film, it's an act of collective madness.
Well, they seem like a, if you'll forgive the American expression, a super pack of wolves.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a shame because America started out in an effort to get away from an empire, and look what it's become. The most powerful empire ever. And along with that, it has the potential to make or break not only this country, but the planet. And these are, we've never been in a particular time like this before, ever. And it's exponentially. Exponentially growing. So we do see that there's a little bit of a window here. And I wanted to have this film out so that people could feel informed, feel empowered, and let's move forward and do something.
Now, whereabouts can people, is the documentary going to be free online for everybody to see, or is it being selling DVDs? What?
Free? Heck, well, there's no such thing. There's no free. This is America.
Well, more to the point, do you have to pay in order to view it on YouTube?
Actually, yeah, I think we're coming out on these different platforms, and I think we're going to be on YouTube. We just got distribution, so we're not quite sure exactly what. We'll have it on our website when you go there. But, you know, we're trying to get out on too many platforms as we can. We don't want to just jump onto YouTube right away or anything, because we have, well, we want to get some respect for the film, and I think if it has a higher audience, you know, that's something we want to let the distribution people handle, so that we you know, get the most professional distribution package that's possible. We want worldwide distribution, not just here in America. We want everyone to see it. And it's really interesting. The few people that have seen it outside this country are gone nuts about it, because it's the first film that's actually, you know, have it, where America, you know, that where they're seeing, like, Americans are actually admitting that something. I mean, they look at us like we're Americans. They don't, you know, care that I'm a filmmaker thing. They're just saying how amazing that a film came out of America that actually would tell this story. And so they're really excited. If, you know, people want to see it all over the world. And America, you know, here, it's going to be a little tough, because we're all believing in the American dream, and we're waving that, you know, it's not like we run out in the street and wave the flag, but yes, we do, because we're all supporting the system. We're all running down to the malls, consuming and shopping, going to the banks. We're enabling this system that is going to eventually be our downfall. And you know, after the break, because you can probably go to a commercial real quick here, I want to get into that, Vinny, because we need to see how this is coming down. And it's going to be pretty horrific. And it's something we all can do something about still if we have the sincereness. And the neat thing here is that American Empire's done it for you, so you don't have to feel like, okay, you've got to run down onto the street corner and you know, be the block leader or something like that. No, you don't have to do that. You can stay home, and this is like a revolution where you can do it from Facebook, you can do it with your purchase, you can do it with your dollar, and that is going, you can do it by going to the places that you shop, and by stopping shopping in places maybe you shouldn't be shopping, you know, and get people to give us goods and services in this country that benefit our country, that benefit our health, that are going to move us forward.
Yeah. I've just been thinking about this recently, about the state of technology in the United States. You know, they've still got those old diesel trains running around when the rest of the, like, Europe and things like that have, like, bullet trains that go 300 mile an hour, or in Japan they've got maglev trains and things like this. And it's just like the country's falling the frack apart. And if the Super Bowl is the prime, you know, event that you have in America, and the power goes out for 40 minutes, I think you gotta have a look at yourself. What are you number one in only three things now? America is obesity, military spending, and incarceration of its own fracking citizens. Is that the greatest country in the world to you?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But that's absolutely what is going on here. And, you know, the real wealth of every nation lies in its soil, not in its bank vaults. And that's what America's turned into. Wall Street is in control here. And the money isn't worth anything. It's what the money buys that is the worth. The land, the water, shelter, goods and services. And we, you know, we don't really think about it that way anymore. We think, you know, about money just, you know, oh, I got to save a bunch of money. Well, that didn't help people in Germany, you know, during back in the war. They were taking wheelbarrows full of it to go and buy bread. So the money is worthless. It's, you know, what you need is a good home. What you need is good things. Like you just said, not all this junky stuff. Forget, you know, if people are dumb enough to sit around and, instead of doing good homework, watching a few important documentaries, read some books, people. You know, they have to get out there and stop just being part of the problem. Because sitting around just, you know, I'm not saying people can't watch a Super Bowl game, but too much is going on right now. And that's part of the hook that they've got you in, is, you know, watching TV and watching junk, being, you know, getting hooked on these episodes and all of this TV stuff, man. There's like 1,000 channels here in America, and we're the way the human brain works. We really get easily sucked into that kind of stuff. You want to know how it's going to end, and you know it's always the last episode. Yeah, well, you know, now you got to see the next one, and so they have us hooked. And if we're not out there paying attention, it isn't popular to sit around and read these books, and nor is it warranted or wanted. I mean, you know, most people don't want to be reading this stuff or even know about it. And that's the sad truth, is that they just don't want to know. It's just like with the food. They're like, don't tell me all the junk that's in here. I don't want to know. Just let me enjoy my friggin' burger. And, you know, that's a sad state of where America is today. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who really care, but there's not enough when you look at the people who out there who just don't know any better and who are uninformed and just don't even know where to get the information. And they're too just preoccupied with whatever their stuff, their entertainment, their life, going to the malls, doing whatever, to even know, you know, where to begin a search like this, that there's even a problem. So one of the things, Vinny, is that I don't think everybody can And I do apologize. I am really got a very bad sore throat here. It was got caught in all the stuff I've been doing out, and it was so cold. I got a really bad chill. But I know it's so important to come on your show. I just didn't want to miss this because we, in America, we think we have this freedom if we're not in jail. But economically, we're really economic slaves, and that's the way we're educated. We're educated to be that, and we don't even know it. We think, you know, oh, because I have a great education and I'm earning a bunch of money, that I know everything. But they aren't teaching in school the things, the truth about how the country's set up, how the system of debt and inflation and interest really work, and who benefits. You know, we aren't informed on these, anything about sustainability for the total future of our country. Or we're not taught really how we're coming in and stealing the goods and services of other countries. You know, the total land is being, you know, plundered by our country for the goods and services that we enjoy every day, so that we're getting at this cheap rate. And as long as we keep kind of getting, see, that's where the catch-22 comes in. We want everything cheap and we want it convenient, so we don't care where it comes from. We don't care that it's on the backs of other peoples in other countries that are being pushed off their land, or being starved off their land, or being you know, made homeless and being made indentured slaves, and in some cases on their own land that they used to own, so that we here in America can enjoy some stuff that we use for a few weeks and throw away.
Yeah. I think instead of joining the Occupy movement, most Americans are part of the pre-Occupy movement.
I think that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. But that's perfect. That's, you know, that's what it comes down to. We're preoccupied, and sure, we have the big excuse, you know, well, most of us are really suffering, or we need a couple of jobs, and we both, you know, partners have to bring in an income as well. And so that makes it like, oh, yeah, I don't have to study all this stuff because I don't have time, you know. But really, when it comes down to it, you know, you've got responsibility to your family and to your country. That's what a patriot is, somebody that cares about their country. And right now, if we don't get our country back on track of being sustainable, and that means getting out of corporate farms and these people who are trying to throw all this monoculture food at us, it's getting us sick. It's sending us off to big pharma. And
well, you know, I think the real problem here is things aren't built to last anymore, and they haven't been for quite some time. That's why everything's so cheap, and that's why everything's so throwaway, you know, because you can just get another one. I think if things were a lot more expensive, but they lasted 50 years or something, like if you want to go buy garden tools, for example, don't go to Walmart to get your garden tools. Find a garage sale, this really, really old couple or something like that, with their garden tools that are like 30, 40 years old. And I can guarantee you those tools will be in better condition and will last a hell of a lot longer than anything you'll buy brand new today.
Absolutely. You know, I could say that when I was doing some editing, we had this one old historical, we did a little documentary on the editing, and I found Howard Hughes's old moviola, and it still worked. It worked fine. I could run film through it, and it worked great because it was made from in the USA, the good old USA, with quality. And I'll tell you now, since I've been editing and doing different film work over the years, in the last 10 years, you ask anybody who's had a computer, a Mac, or any of these things, how many times have you changed your computer or gotten a new cell phone or had your CD player or had to do your TV? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I do not. I've only been doing this 5-6 years or whatever, right? And been doing it pretty intense. I've had to get a new computer. I've had to get a new cell phone. I've had to get a new microphone. I've had to get a new this, that, and the absolute other, you know. Nothing lasts anymore. What the hell is going on? I'm really sick of it, man. I just want some stuff that's of quality that I can afford. We'll be right back with Patria Patrick from American Empire Documentary.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We expose scumbaggery and have a few cackles while we're at it.
My very special guest is Patria Patrick. Sorry, I had a Pavarotti stuck in my throat. And I was just thinking what you were saying before about how we're all basically in a prison. We're all freaking slaves. And what people don't realize is that if you're in jail, okay, and you get let out into the exercise yard, it doesn't mean that you're free. You're still in a jail. And so when people get out of a real prison, you know, they get released, they're just getting released into a very large exercise yard. They're still in frickin' jail. And you mentioned the word sustainable. And for a lot of people who are knowledgeable of Agenda 21, it's become a dirty world. There's nothing actually bad about sustainability. It's if you try to tyrannically impose somebody else's idea of sustainability and erode freedom and eradicate any form of humanity out of the equation in order to keep people in line, sustainable development, Agenda 21 type thing, that's got a problem. Sustainable is, how about we stop polluting the frickin' oceans with copious quantities of oil, copious quantities of radiation, huge quantities of plastics and tires and trash and stuff everywhere from all this bullshit Muslim cyclical consumption that has no real value anymore. We've got the resources where we can sustain billions upon billions of lives really, really well. We've got the technology. I remember reading a textbook a couple of years ago that was from the 70s, and it said all oil will run out by 1996. 1996 came and came. Okay, you were wrong, because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Because when people develop technology, when people actually have creativity, which is basically the kind of thing that really gets them sort of stamped out and crushed in America today by sociopathic scumbags who have no freaking creativity, so they just steal everybody else's ideas. When you've got it, freedom, okay, it allows that sort of stuff to flourish, and people can solve problems. It's when you have people who have no creativity, who have no conscience, that control everybody and stop others from having their creativity and having a conscience, that's when you've got a real problem with sustainability.
And sustainability really means a system that can sustain itself. So therefore, it would be like if you have a garden that you plant, and once you plant it over the years, it just, you know, it doesn't even really need any water because it was grown and thought with the area in mind so that it would regenerate itself and live in those conditions. So what we have now is we have like monoculture farming here in the United States, which doesn't sustain itself. So that, you know, those are the two different systems. If we got back to sustainable farming, I mean, maybe, yeah, it's okay to have it where it, you know, it needs some water and things like that. That's great. But I went up and I did on some of our interviews. We met people in Washington who were growing grain, all kinds of grain, quinoa and wheat and barley. And they had, you know, a vast amount of grains they were trying. And they did it without water because they were smart and, you know, they were trying to, you know, we actually have such great technology now that, you know, they were actually able to grow all of this grain without watering any of this land. And it was amazing. And it's called the Dry Land Farm Project. So these things can be done. Things don't need to be monoculture. What monoculture is doing is it is allowing corporate takeover of our food. And our food is the first place, and it's the last stronghold we have left. Without our food, without good food, we're not going to, you know, be able to be healthy enough and have smart, be smart enough. You know, we're not going to be sharp enough to even know that there's recourse that we should be taking. That's, this is the last place, folks. You know, they already took over the money and they've already taken over, you know, the rest of it. But the food is the last place. If we can get our food back, we can start step by step getting other things back and getting back to a sustainable country. And that's what we need, because right now we're importing all of our food, and that is setting them up so that they can control us. The day they want to turn that food supply off, we're going to be starving, or we're going to be paying with those big wheelbarrow full of cash for a little bit of food.
It just seems so insane to me that, you know, America produces huge quantities of food and they don't eat any of it. They just import it all.
Yeah, I mean, we're growing food that we export off to GMO food that we export off and try to get other countries to buy that. Now, a lot of countries are starting to get hip and say we don't want that, but we need to be feeding ourselves and our own country. We need to get back to more community local farming systems, which is going to be really hard to do right now. But that's the only way to keep food where it's beneficial to the body. If every time my food that I get comes from some other country and then it goes and sits on the dock here in America for 5 or 10 days before it gets picked up by the food companies, and then it goes to their shipping place where they take it, and then that sits in the stores for 10 days until whenever I decide to come and pick it up. How old is that food? And it's always picked way before it's ripe, before the nutritional value is there. But this is all done, Vinny, you know, for economical reasons and for control. And that's the danger, is that, and that's why I say it's our last stronghold, and we don't see it even coming. We're just sitting there going, oh, I can get strawberries out of season. And you know, you go in there and it looks like, oh, I can get all this stuff out of season. You know, maybe God didn't want you to have that stuff out of season for a reason, because, you know, that's just how it is. But us relying on these corporations, they're setting us up so that they're going to control who eats and who doesn't eat and what the prices are and what food is available to whom.
Mm. You know, they can make skyscrapers now, I think, tall buildings up to 20 stories high out of wood with modern engineering abilities. And if you put them all with glass, they've got these plastic sheet solar panels that you've got now that are completely see-through, and you can put them on the glass, and there's your power plant. And then on top of that, you can have UV lights and things like that are on a rotator splint, and you can make the plants grow seven times as much. So you've got a 20-story building that is growing food 24 hours a day, taking up very, very little room comparatively, and that one little block manages to be basically a 20-acre farm in the middle of the city.
Okay. Yeah,
we got the ability to do these things, but they're not. Yeah. I think it's because they want us off the land.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. They are going to take over all the land, and the land that even for the few small farmers that are out there that are left, that are trying so hard to dearly hang on to their land and feed people organic food, they're coming in and starting to frack their land, which totally poisons the water supply for the people who live on that land. So they can't even sell their property, for one, to get off of it. And they can't drink the water. They can't sustain themselves anymore. And then, of course, anything grown there is toxic. So this is a sad statement of what is going on. And our government is allowing it for corporate profit.
It's happening in New Zealand too. We've got massive fracking operations starting up, and they're contaminating the water supplies all over there. They're doing it in Australia as well. It's just it's not just an American thing. And this is the thing that really does frustrate me, maybe as somebody who's not living in America, is that the focus of the fight for freedom has essentially been almost isolated just to the American issues and the American problems. And the interesting thing is that if you focus on the American issues and the American problems and you simply copy-paste them, you say that they're fracking this, they're putting fluoride or whatever, or they're putting vaccines in the water supply, whatever. Anything that's going on in America, copy-paste it and say it's going on in New Zealand, and I can guarantee you the exact same thing is happening. So, you know, we really are talking about a global control grid here. And I think that America's a domino. If you could shirk the tyrannical system in the United States, you know, wholesale, just, you know, no crappy food, no crappy products, no BS politicians, no tyrannical police state or anything like that, shut down Guantanamo, get the drones out of the fracking sky, that kind of thing. I think that it would just tip the scales in the favor of humanity, because everybody would say, oh my God, look what we can do.
But the problem, Vinny, is that it's a domino effect, just the opposite. America started this.
It's true.
And it's not that like, oh, you know, New Zealand decided, wow, America's doing that, so let's do it because this is so great an idea. Let's just, you know, start fracking our country all up. No, what happens, you know, is that America, because the American empire has gone in with its military and forced these things on other countries. And this is what John Perkins talks about in our film, and it is so sad. And it's taking our country down a moral path of that we're all responsible for. And that's the thing is, you know, we're benefiting from it. And that's why I say we're eating off the backs of other countries. We're getting the goods from other countries. We're getting all these resources from other countries. And we're turning these other countries into little Americas. And, you know, how in the near future you're going to go on vacation to somewhere and it's just going to, it's already like that. You go to a vacation and you see, I don't want to mention names, but you see the same places, you know, fast food joints and things like that you would never think are going to be there because you're going on vacation to get away from that. And you get there and it's a bunch of malls and fast food places. And, you know, it's just the world is being corporatized and Americanized. And I don't know if you saw our poster yet for our film, but it shows that the map, the new map of the world, the new global map, is a corporate map. There's no boundaries of countries. It's just boundaries of sort of companies and in these corporate entities that have taken over ground. And now they are the new world. And if we don't stop that, if we don't see that as Americans, if we don't stop enabling it, then we are going to be in big trouble real fast. And that's why I think what was important is, you know, we can educate so many people. And so many people are going to listen. And we should try to educate everybody. But there are going to be a certain amount of people we just don't have time to sit there and try to do this debate with. We need to move forward and just know what we can do, get as many people as we can involved, but actually do something. And, you know, the Occupy thing, that right there shows how disgruntled Americans are. But it was a sad show out that, you know, you see in Egypt when, you know, somebody put out on Facebook, you know, we're going to have this revolution, well, 2 million people showed up. Here, when we put our Occupy thing, I was here in Los Angeles, and I mean, if I saw 600 people there, it was a good day. I'm sure there weren't that many, you know. That was probably including all the cops, you know. And so we've come to the point where we've traded our Declaration of Independence for dependence on corporations and our Bill of Rights for corporate rights. And if we continue on down that, being seduced by this cheap and convenience and trading our health and our moral standing in the world and leaving this debt that we've accepted for our, to be passed on to our children, and living in this whole and accepting this taxation, inflation, debt thing. We're gone. Our country is gone.
There've been times when I have broken. I've just thought about the state of my nation, and the state of many others, and the way people are living right now, and what's being done around them and being done to them, and I couldn't stop myself from just crying because it's so horrific, just to try and remember what's really happening, and how hard the road already is, and how much harder it's going to be before we finish this journey. I've got this this great fear that we're just going to go through these massive, trying, tribulatory times, and people will just let it happen. They'll just sit back and watch their kids be executed on their knees in front of their homes and just go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm sorry. You said something bad about the government and now you have to be exterminated because of it. I'm sorry about that." We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com in just a minute or so. I'm a bit of a... bad stuff going on in the background here. I just wanted to also say that it's documentaries really do wake people up, like they really do. There ain't nothing really that can compare to a documentary with great editing, storytelling, to really hit home to people. So, you know, get these DVDs out to people, hand them out, friends, family, that kind of thing. Do anything you can, because if you do nothing, there's nothing they won't do to you. We'll be right back.
Yeah. And no one like me.
Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. As far as I know, I'm the only New Zealander with an American-based talk radio show. I think it's because everyone thinks the accent's rather sexy. Anyway, my very special guest is Patria Patrick, and the website is AmericanEmpireDocumentary.com. And we were talking over the break about how there's lots of different wars that are being fought at the moment, and not all of them are being fought with bombs and guns. Some of them are being fought with mind control. Some of them are being fought with weather control. Things like this. Exotic weaponry. And that stuff's really freaky.
Well, Vinny, yes, and the way I see it here, it's a war on us as a people, and you're right, they're not using bombs, they don't need to use that, but they're using something else. They're using something called economy, the economy. They're using something called our agriculture. They're using education. They're using TV. They're using Wall Street. You know, it's a new way to wage war, and we have to be aware of that.
Now, isn't that funny how you talk about a new way to wage war, and people are having a war committed on them through their wages.
True. But, Wall Street and the people that control this whole economy, you know, have it set up so it works in their benefit. And that's where the war is. That's why I say it's a different kind of war. It's more beneficial to do it this way than to blow us all up and then just come take our money. No, they don't need to do that. They just use education to let them take it from us.
I've got this idea of course, that we needed a truth of school. Okay, so when you go into preschool, they're telling you about how good vitamin C is for you, how good nutrition is, and to explaining to you real history about how the bankers control everything, and how Hollywood is overtaken by MK Ultra sex cult scumbaggery. You know, this kind of thing. Wouldn't that be great if there was a parallel education system which would undo all of the misinformation and all of the brainwashing that has been done to us through the state schooling system?
Yeah, well, you know, it should have been done, and it's called growing up becoming an adult, you should get it. And when we just go along with the system and take it up the, you know, it just becomes a sign of stupidity in a way. And our silence is making us, you know, in compliance with the very system that's bringing us down. And that's what we don't see. We're just going along thinking, oh, it's convenient and it's great and I can pick up some fast food here and I can run over to the bank and, you know, then I'll jump in and go do my work, you know, and then I come home and catch some TV. Oh, my day was all easy. But in general, we're just putting up with more of the same thing. We've got to stop and look at where our compliance is in this. We as people have to put our foot down and start demanding, you know, better, like we were talking about earlier, quality. You know, really, I really don't care when my TV breaks down and my cell phone breaks down, but when I break down because I've been having to eat this crappy food out of these big old box market stores and I find out my kids got cancer, I'm really not going to be happy. And that's what is going on. We're getting junk sold to us, and yet we're turning around and we buy it and we keep buying it, and then we go put it on a credit card and buy more of it.
That's it. It's a junk society. You know, we've got junk banks giving us junk money to buy junk food and junk products that we wind up throwing away and call it junk. You know, it's like, well, dude, it was junk before you threw it away. Why did you buy it?
Yeah. You know, that's what I say. It's like we're buying phony food with phony money. You know, and then we're going and getting phony health from the pharmaceutical company. It's ridiculous. And that's why we need to get back to what the values of this country was when Andrew Jackson was president. He knew that we couldn't have banks involved in the government. And that is one thing that people this day do not know about. And they need to understand and they need to learn that this, the entity that allowed central banking to come into our government, has been the road to leading up to allowing every other major corporation to become a cartel in its area. So now what we are is a bunch of cartels, and we think we have some government, but, you know, we go through the voting process, but nothing changes. Just people's faces change. But the issues, no real, you know, we've had like a war on cancer for the last probably 50 years in this country.
And now one in three people get cancer.
Yeah, and it's going to be one out of every two. And pretty soon it's going to be one out of every one, plus you'll get a heart attack too along with it. So it's getting worse. And people, you know, we throw this money at it. We ought to understand that the way that they are going to take it, they're going to take it through pharmaceuticals and technology. They're going to go the wrong route. They're doing it with our food, our economy, you name it. That's why we need to get back to sustainability, because President Thomas Jefferson knew that our country couldn't be sustainable if we didn't have really good quality food. And he made it the first act of his presidency to go out and send his ships out to all the places around the world and to gather up food seeds, bring them back here. And then they had them packaged, and they gave out over a billion packs of these seeds to the farmers and to the homesteaders and anybody who wanted them. And that is why we had a good country. And that was how our country got strong. We had farms all over the place. We could feed people. There was plenty of food. There was a plethora of good stuff. You know, now we've outsourced all of that. And we've lost all the, and it's not like the farmers just decided to quit. They were taken off their farms. It was a planned takeover of this farming so that it could be monoculture and it could be down to like a few big farm companies. And so it's now farming is a cartelized industry. And if people don't understand that, then They've got to see this movie. They've got to see this movie. They can start understanding these things. They can get informed. They can get on the boat, and they can start doing something about it. It doesn't even take a lot of energy. It's just a little bit different. You know, when you come to a fork in the road, it's not that much whether you go left or you go right. But you better be on the right path with this one. We can't mess up here. If you don't get on the right path, then, you know, you're sunk, and you're sinking. You're helping us to sink. So, you know, the other thing is, too, is we can't see every documentary out there. So I was just like hoping if you could show the connecting dots. And that's what this film does, is it shows the ties and how the corporate government ties, how it's all working, you know, how it's all forged together, it strengthens itself, and how it's locked us out from really voting on anything. We don't get to vote any of these corporate votes. There's some CEO who runs it, and we're not even allowed to do that. And some of the people, you know, even in when the G20 came and, those kind of things, we're not allowed to even go there and show our disgruntledness that these people are getting together behind locked doors. And it's illegal for our senators, our congressmen, our presidents, our people in our government to be at these meetings. And we know that they were, and they're supporting these corporations and their agenda. And this stuff has got to stop.
Yeah. The media just seems to report the existence of dots. You know, like, look, there's a dot. Look at how freaking huge it is. It's a massive dot. And then the alternative media comes in and goes, hey, look, it's connected to that dot over there. And that one. 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 And before you know it, you got a full picture. And that's what I think, or what I hope, when I eventually do get to see this documentary, what it will represent. And we talked about G. Edward Griffin's film, Why in the World Are They Spraying, over the break. And it was actually his assistant that demanded I get you on this show. So I wanted to dedicate that one to him and his assistant and all of that kind of stuff. We're all in this together, you know. Who are your real enemies, ladies and gentlemen? Is it the people in the movement who say one thing out of 100,000 things that they say that you disagree with, and that's the only reason why you start communicating with them, to tell them that you disagree with them about one thing? Or is it the people who are donning black masks and riot shields and beating up protesters? Is it the people who are meeting behind closed doors after manipulating everybody during election campaigns and not fulfilling a single one of their fracking promises? Who are the real enemies? Get behind these people, like Patria Patrick, and like myself. And in fact, I've really got to stress again, ladies and gentlemen, I need donations and subscriptions on a fairly consistent basis. I'm not messing around, okay? I really am trying to help everybody. I don't care what your issue is. They're all connected as far as I'm concerned. We should all stand behind each other. Patria Patrick, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Vinny, you've got a great show, and everybody needs to watch your show. Spread the word about your show. Get this as much plug as it can get, because this is the only thing that's going to save us. Information like, and people like you that are proud and aren't going to take it.
All right, Patria Patrick. AmericanEmpireDocumentary.com. That's AmericanEmpireDocumentary.com. Please go there and support really rugged, individualistic, hardcore filmmakers like her by purchasing a copy of the DVD whenever it comes out. And thank you very much for listening and contributing to this show and all the people that send guest suggestions. I very rarely take callers on this show, but what I do have is an email inbox, and I pretty much get anybody on this show that you ask me to. So we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening.